I want to put it right here just in case you say anything, you know, adversary, so I can eavesdrop.
Well, put it down there then.
It's okay. I'll just repeat what you say real loud.
Oh, thank you.
Or at least I'll attribute it all to you.
Alrighty, let's go.
36.
I'm looking at the clock
Mike,
there.
Mike?
It's off.
Mike?
Huh?
Yeah.
Fox.
No, we have
Fox.
He got 30. He probably got 26.
Put a hold. It's gossip time.
You got 15?
We have to see each other once a month. We have to catch up.
No. So follow the order. Celia, would you like me to play?
I move it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, still under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. And we are all. Public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at a time as they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board council about items within jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board council wishes to extend a lengthy presentation, it will be done by chair or board council by majority vote.
Can you do that again?
No.
I didn't get the last line.
I wasn't paying attention to it. All right. Nobody? Okay. On to approval of minutes for January 11th, 2018.
Motion.
Second. All right, okay.
Okay, approved.
All right. And approval of the agenda for March 14th, 2018.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Yeah. All right. Creech Air Force Base. Metro.
He's here. He's in the library.
He's gossiping in the library.
NHP. No. Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department.
Edgy.
Me. I actually have not been here for a couple weeks, if you wouldn't mind saying anything.
I really don't know much.
I'll go with what I know.
Yeah. I know they're having an open house on the 22nd of April to try to get more recruits. So that's what I
She knows more than anybody.
Sorry, I've been out of town. I just got home like 10 minutes ago. 20 minutes ago.
Maybe you could encourage the chief to attend these.
The open house?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can send you one of the flyers.
Or at least one of mine.
Who's the chief now?
Gary.
Gary.
Oh,
is that
right? I know. Well, I'll finish with the fire department. We got a new squad coming next few weeks to next month.
Cool.
It's pretty much just an updated, rebuilt version of the old one. New pump, new truck under it. We got one new in-town member. He's going through training and hopefully going to ELF on the next session.
Who's that? Ryan Frank.
Yes, Ryan Frank.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's awesome.
I just wanted it out there.
I just,
getting some young blood on there.
Yes, we need more of that.
Yes.
They had a car wash last Saturday. I wasn't here, but I heard it went well. Oh, and if anyone wants to volunteer, we got a stack of applications. That's all I got. Metro.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Matt Morlow, Las Vegas Metro, sergeant from the resident area. We've been busy. Not necessarily in Indian Springs. We've had a lot of other things going on up on Mount Charleston that we've been dealing with, which is kind of unusual. Out here, though, got some complaints of juveniles smoking in a desert lot. Maybe going to cause a fire over there. I think that's mitigated right now. What street is that on?
Boulder.
Boulder. You guys see these kids up there in that desert lot there smoking cigarettes? Just give me a quick text or a call. Everybody should have my cell number by now. We want to mitigate that. We don't want a fire started. These kids shouldn't be smoking cigarettes. They're going to do what they do, but I don't want them endangering the, you know, the streets and whatnot. You go to that area.
The empty lot next to me that everybody cuts through to go to the Oasis.
Yeah, oh, okay. I don't know what the address or what that would be, but everybody, you guys are familiar, right? We took your favorite town member to jail this morning for some warrants. His truck's still out in the desert right now.
Oh, really?
We're always looking for him. Other than that, I don't have anything. Does anybody have anything for me?
What happened with was it locked
up? Oh, yeah, good call. So, we got a call from a concerned citizen, and rightly so, that a gentleman was walking up the road with a rifle, and it looked like the barrel was big enough it could have been like a shotgun or a decent-sized rifle. So, they described him, they described the rifle, and then, at first, the information came out that the person was headed towards the school. Well, of course, that causes alarm for us with recent events, as you can imagine. So, we all roll out here, it ended up being three of us, three Metro, four NHP, got out here. The guy was gone. He didn't end up at the school. In fact, when they showed us, we spoke to the person that called, showed us the direction he went. It wasn't towards the school. We checked a particular house that we're very familiar with in town, and it happened that he had gone to that house. He came out, brought the rifle with him. It was a pellet gun. The other information we had was that he had fired two shots, apparently, according to the witness. That wasn't necessarily accurate, but that was the time when the Thunderbirds were flying over and so forth. This was really loud, so, you know, who knows what really happened there. Long and the short of it is, that individual didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but it was recommended that if he's going to walk around with a rifle, he needs to be in a rifle case, pellet gun, whatever, and obviously avoid walking towards the school at any point. So what we gain out of this is a couple of things. One, I would tell you, as a citizen and as a concerned citizen, give us a call. Don't hesitate if you see somebody doing something that doesn't look exactly right. A lot of these instances, a lot of these shootings, school shootings, all these things can be mitigated if somebody just said, you know, that doesn't look right, and I'm going to take action. A lot of people probably said, oh, that doesn't look right, but not a lot of folks take action. And the action I'm saying is, I'm not saying you intervene or get in the middle of it. Just give us a call. 911, call myself, text myself, whatever it is based on the emergency, get a hold of us. We'd rather come out here full bore and have it be nothing than to not know about it or come out late when it's too late, right? So make sure we know about that stuff that's going on. The second thing that came from it is we met with the school, and we're actually going to end up doing some training with the school for, you know, they have lockdown procedures, they have emergency operation procedures. We're going to, you know, I've done some at Lundy. I've done one training with Lundy Elementary, and we're going to get in some here at Indian Springs between the fire department, Metro, NHP, and possibly Creech, too, and the school and the kids, so that everybody knows what their role is in case, in the event of some catastrophe like that happens, and then we're all familiar and we can work through any bugs that happen there. So that's the two things that came from that. That rifle call, it really wasn't anything, but it was a good thing. It was a good reminder for us, and it was good to bring things to our attention that needed to be dealt with. Questions on that? Yes, sir.
Did you put out the fire chief's number, the new one?
I think I have it in email, but I'll get it from here at the end of the meeting just to make sure to double check that. Thank you. Well, thank you.
I had one question. Who do we contact for the massive increase in dumping we've been seeing? And another thing is, you've probably known, we have a lot more little fires popping up in the desert.
Yeah, so some of that's being investigated right now. BLM's investigating those fires. Yeah. That is, they have a potential suspect. It's going to depend on what evidence gathering that BLM has done and what they get during the interviews. And hopefully that interview gets to take place based on actions we took today. Mm-hmm. So we'll see about that. As far as the dumping goes, you know, Metro can enforce illegal dumping even if it's on BLM land, but certainly the BLM officer out here would, if you've got license plate numbers or anything else, they would certainly follow up on that. So if you don't see license plates or you just have descriptions, you can pass it on to us and we'll get BLM involved with it. If that makes sense.
All right.
But we got to know about it, and then I got to get hold of BLM usually. If it's not something I can deal with right now, it'll have to go through BLM.
Mike, is that where is it? Just everywhere and anywhere, or specific areas?
Well, interestingly, we weren't talking to each other, so we didn't really know for a couple weeks that we had all been running on these little fires, and we were doing some training, and I was like, yeah, I had two in one day, and someone else said, yeah, I had, and then we pulled up reports, and there's like six or seven of them.
Right.
And they're all the same, and it's just like somebody piled stuff up and lit it on fire. I had one behind the school. I went out at 2 in the morning, and I put it out. It was just trash burning, and some airmen called it in. And then at 8 in the morning, I got a call for the same location, so I'm thinking, oh, same fire lit on fire again. I go back out there, and it was a different one about 100 feet away.
And there's three sets of transients that are living out there. I've observe them going by the house with the backpack. There's a pair, mm-hmm. a white gentleman and a Hispanic, and then another older gentleman that are out there somewhere.
Behind your house?
Yeah, they
behind
go out.
In front of our house?
Oh,
in front of your house?
Yeah.
I know where they're going. I've seen where they're going.
Oh, okay.
But just because I walk up the Water Tower Road every now and then.
Right.
There's a cave out there.
The one came up the road.
Oh,
yeah.
With the wall on it? Oh.
No.
Well, no, it doesn't have a wall on it, but it is a pretty deep cave. I mean, as a kid, I had gone there. But there's a cave that's out behind the water tower. Kind of
that's
to the right. Yeah. Yeah. When you're looking at the tower, it's to the right.
There's a path.
Okay,
there's a path that goes
there.
Yeah,
and
you can see the clear path that goes over there, but they have, the last time I saw, which was a couple weeks ago, there was lawn chairs. There was a sleeping bag.
I just seen the guy walking up the road today.
They're marked moving
back,
on.
I didn't realize they were three bags going up the road.
I saw that there.
I'm going to say middle. I'm not going to say young, but he wasn't what I consider old.
I know Matt.
No, it's not
no,
Matt.
Not
Bitter.
Matt. Everybody knows Matt.
And I know where he's living now, so that's not where it is.
Yeah, Matt Fisher's normally on that side of town.
The couple could be Blake Jones. His girlfriend?
They usually have
a vehicle.
The person I saw today was not Blake or his girlfriend or Matt Fisher.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen a woman. All the ones I've seen have been men.
Well, we'll figure out who it is. I'll go make a visit.
You just drive and go over the berm and look to your left and you'll see it.
Yeah. Okay.
Am I right?
What about the dumping? Where's that taking place?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know who it is. It's the same kind of thing. What's been happening for about a little over a year now? Is either an RV, camper, or some type of structure ends up in the desert.
Right.
It gets lived in for a while and catches on fire and burns down.
Okay.
And it's happened back there, over there, back there.
So it has to do with the fire?
Lots of fire. There's a fire thing attached to all of it, so someone's got an issue with that. Okay. It's just like these little fires in the desert, you know, we get a call on the radio. We don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And you get out there and it's nothing, but I mean, we're doing this on our spare time, and it's just, it sucks.
Gotcha.
And I don't like
it. Hey, you signed up for this, man.
Yeah. I'm going
to
complain about it.
You want to put out fire. All right, anything else for me?
Yeah.
One more thing. I know I talked to someone at one point who said that you guys wanted to know, when we see Blake Jones driving around, I mean, sorry to just throw out a name, but
sure.
Blake driving up and down the roads.
Yeah.
But who do we call?
You have my number?
No.
Only given it out 15 times.
No, I probably
289-5650.
I mean, I don't want to.
Can you text
it?
Just text it.
I mean, I don't want to irritate. be irritating about it, but I want to call if you guys want me to call.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you just want to text going, sign going out in the desert, sign going?
Yeah, do it as soon as you can. So like,
right,
we're getting a guy here. If there's a guy already in town, he can get on. If there's not, at least I can.
Because we see him a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Text or call anytime.
Now his, okay, I know you're probably not, his truck does have a shell on it now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So the one, the tall guy with the Hispanic guy, is that a recurring person from previous?
They're gone.
Those guys moved to Texas.
Yeah, they went back home.
Yeah, this one guy that,
because of the police.
Thank you very much.
That's right. They took all their stuff.
But he was standing like over here in like the hills.
Yeah.
You can see it from the highway, but it's a kind of hidden behind hills.
Who is it?
Joe. I guess his name is Joe, I guess.
Okay.
He has a great beard. That's the only time I know I seen him. He normally walks around. He was living with somebody, but he got kicked out, so he had nowhere else to go, so he lives in the desert.
Gotcha.
And Blake gave him, I guess, that trailer.
Okay. The pop-up trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we've talked to that guy.
Yeah.
We got him at his point. Thank you. Anything else?
Okay. Thanks, man.
Thank you for your
Thank
time.
You very much.
Thank you.
Parks and Rec.
Hello. I'm Teresa. I work with Parks and Rec. Basically the same thing. There is going to be some activities during spring break. The flyer's on the thing. There's some flyers here if you want it. We've got bingo on the 22nd. And just so everybody knows, baseball opening day is tomorrow. Parade's at 9. Saturday. Parade's at 9, so even if you don't have kids, stand out on the street and wave. They love it. I think she's going up. She's going to go down Clark, Boulder, up and down Raleigh and down Skye. So just wave. The kids think it's cool. And
when's this? I'm sorry. When's the parade?
Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
When does it start?
9:00. It's just a little baseball parade. Each team has a truck decorated.
Okay.
It's really cute. Nice. So, and then just because there's nobody here for them, the week after that, the seniors are having their pancake breakfast. I think it starts at 10 now, doesn't it? Starts at 10, and I heard they got some really good cinnamon pancakes. And that's all.
Okay.
Indian Springs School?
I don't have much. We have, just on a more personal basis, I'm the senior class advisor. We have some kids that are struggling to make their payments for the senior class trip. If anyone wanted to donate towards any of those kids. And I can't really disclose who it is because of
confidentiality.
I mean, to do that, but yeah, we're trying to get all the kids to be able to go that want to go, and some kids are having a hard time. So if you're interested in donating, go ahead and just,
Do you guys have like a goal for
how much do they need?
Well, I mean, there's kids that need $50, there's kids that need $100. It just all depends. So, all in all, is that, you mean like?
Yeah, like in total?
Yeah, I think in total, I would have to see what they paid, but yesterday, we were $500 short for each kid. The kid portion was close to $500 short so that they could have park hoppers at Disneyland. $300 short so that everybody could go. So there's four kids, because the park hoppers are $50, there's four kids who haven't been able to pay that. And then an extra $300 just so certain kids could go. We're trying to make sure that they do, but it's turning into a little bit of a budgeting nightmare because, you know, Disney tickets are what they are. We can't get a break on that, and we can't float the money. through the school like we have done in the past, because we can't use cards anymore. We have to write checks, and they don't accept them. So, essentially, I'm paying for everything. Everything has to be filtered through someone's bank account. So I'm filtering it through my bank account. So I can't float the money. They have to have the money prior to buying the ticket, because, you know, I can't float an extra. I think the Disney tickets are about $3,000 for all 20 people to go. So I can't float that money. They have to have it when I buy it.
When's the deadline? I mean,
the deadline was tomorrow for the Disney tickets.
Oh.
Right. The entire deadline for all of their money is April 16th. So they have to have everything in April 16th to be able to go. So that's kind of where we are right now. Like, I can draw out money to pay for their tickets, but then somehow I have to also rent vans. So does that make sense? See what I'm saying?
So how much do they need total? What are they short?
They're short $300 for the kids to go, $500 for the kids to go, and have park hoppers.
So you need $800 bucks, like?
No. Just
$500 would do it.
Do it all. Five would do it completely. Oh. But that's just on a side note, and I, up until this moment, haven't allowed the kids to go and ask for sponsorships, because I thought they should earn the money. And they have tried. But some of our fundraisers fell short of making as much money as possible.
I mean, would one or two of them be willing to work it off?
I imagine they would. I would have to, I'm sure they would. Our really hard workers and the kids that have the most money to pay are the kids that just got here this year. Mm-hmm. And that's why they haven't earned the money. Most of them are in sports and stuff, but yeah, I'm sure they would. You know, I would have to talk to them. Anyway, so there's that. You know, so talk to me afterwards, and
okay.
I'll,
you know, all right.
We'll make sure that we work something out. But I'm trying to get them to be a little more fit to own, you know, mm-hmm. their fundraising. And they need to own that. They need to learn. In the big world, nobody cares if you get to go. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to earn it, but I still want them to. Anyway, the school wanted to say a big thank you to our Metro, our Highway Patrol. You guys responded so fast when that call came in, out of every window. It was what's called a soft lockdown, for anyone who's wondering. A soft lockdown means that there has been a potential threat. It isn't an imminent danger threat. If there's like a clear and imminent danger, it's a hard lockdown, which is a duck and cover drill. We basically hide everyone. Everyone who can, you know, we get away from windows, everybody turns lights off and duck and covers. This was considered a soft lockdown because there was a potential threat, but there was no clear threat, and it wasn't, we had people watching, we were watching the cameras, and at no time did we see any threat, but we knew that there was probably one out there. Metro and Highway Patrol were seen we could see them at every opening from the school, and many of us employees were out making sure the kids were not visible. They were in classrooms, but classes progressed. So the kids were in a classroom, they were being instructed, everything went on as normal in the classroom, they just couldn't leave. So our only snafu was that lots of people had to go to the bathroom. So, you know, of course, if you're told you have to stay put, everyone decides that they have to go to the bathroom. So that was the only thing that was, you know, kind of difficult for us. But I think that the response was amazing. The kids were super cooperative. Everyone seemed really cooperative. The only, really, I think the only part of a soft lockdown or hard lockdown that we as a school need to get out to the parents is that we can't necessarily answer everybody's questions, and we can't answer cell phones. We can't do that because it's a flood of calls. So we put stuff out on social media, And then answer questions and answer the phones as soon as the lockdown is lifted. That isn't in any way a means of trying to keep your kids away from you. We're just trying to keep phone lines open in case that there, in case there is an emergency. We have those phone lines clear so that we can make necessary phone calls. And if we're constantly trying to answer the phone, that can happen. We also have to have those phone lines open for classrooms to call the main office. So just so you know, if you can let anyone know, who, I know that there were some frustrated people that the school wasn't answering and wasn't calling them back. I had about 30 calls on my cell phone alone, and text messages on my cell phone alone that, you know, I'm not allowed to answer until, you know, everything's legit. So that was all, and we just want to say thank you to you guys. You guys were out there. It was obvious that it was super safe, and yeah, and the response was amazing.
What was the response time on that, from when you learned about it till someone first arrival?
Well, I had Bill. Bill was here. I just called him in early for his shift. So he came in 2 hours early. He logged on from right here. So the response time was 5 minutes, 7 minutes from the time the call came in. But that's not necessarily going to happen every time. It just depends on if he's in town or not. Now,
is there,
if he wasn't in town, everybody else came from down the road. It was about 25 minutes before the next units arrived.
We have a pretty solid mutual aid agreement with the fire department on the base. Is there anything like that that you guys have with security over there or any of the contractors?
No.
There's a lot of resources over there. A lot. Various levels of training among them, but some of the contractors over there are pretty...
It'll be something that'll be discussed when we do our the active shooter training over here. So whether we can get something like that going, if they can bounce across the road. I don't see why they couldn't come in and save lives and keep down there. As it stands right now.
This 25 minutes is a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot can happen in 25 minutes.
Yeah. I'd say at any given time of day, there's quite a few resources over there that, you know, we for emergency over here as far as fire and EMS, we've got that really sorted out really well. Everybody knows their roles. It works very well.
That's a good idea. It's a good point. And I will get into that.
Good idea.
I got to say something, huh? High Desert Seniors, anyone? Clark County Administrative?
I don't have a whole lot for you tonight. The Family Dollar is, they're getting close with their permits. They submitted their drainage study week before last. And that's, the drainage study has been the big holdup, you know, because figuring out what to do with the water when it comes off of their site onto the casino site. So, but they got the study submitted, so that's a big, big step. And then the casino is continuing their studies as well, because then they have to deal with their drainage. So they're both moving along. I know it takes a while. It just does take a while. And the city's booming right now. Everything is going. So review times are taking longer than ever, just because things are good, which it's good, but then it slows down things like this. So they're continuing to work through the process. I talked to NDOT about the mile markers. And have they been in place? Have you noticed?
I haven't noticed them yet.
No. They, I guess their sign shop is up north, and they only send someone to bring orders down once a month. So when I talked to them, we just missed that order. So they should be coming down soon. And
I think that's it.
That's it. Unless there's any questions for me.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I did get an update on that. I'll find out next time.
Oh. Okay.
The apartments. I don't have an update on the apartments.
I have a comment.
Yes.
I want to thank Ms. Megan because we now have a paved road.
Oh.
To tell whoever, the county did the work. We watched them.
Yeah.
And they were it's done. It's nice.
Good.
Thank you.
And everybody's hiking up for
all
the time
now. Yeah, people are walking
up the road now. See, I told her.
You asked for it.
You put down a paved street and everybody wants to walk on it.
Yes, everyone wants to walk.
I just wanted to put out there, thank you.
You're welcome.
It was interesting.
I was out there paving it myself. It was hard work.
Yeah.
Planning and zoning. Discuss sending a letter of support for the Silver Rider program?
Yes. So we do this every year, and some of you may remember, I've read it to you before, but the Silver Rider bus that does transportation up here is funded through federal and state grants, and so when they do their grant packages, they like to have, it helps to have letters of support from the communities that they serve. So I have a letter drafted here. If you, I'll read it, and if you guys are in favor of sending it with your support, I'll need a motion, and then I'll have you sign it. So the letter is, at the March 15th, 2018 meeting of the Indian Springs Town Advisory Board, a letter of support was approved for continuation of Federal Transit Administration funding for the Southern Nevada Transit Coalition Silver Rider for the community of Indian Springs. Public transportation is vital to the citizens of Indian Springs. Indian Springs has a high population of senior citizens as well as low-income residents who are public transit dependent. As you know, the residents in rural communities like Indian Springs have limited services available, making public transportation their only access to normal daily necessities and life-sustaining medical accessibility. The Indian Springs Town Advisory Board appreciates your serious consideration of the request for continued Federal Transit Administration funding for the operation of the Southern Nevada Transit Coalition Silver Rider local bus service to provide public transportation to and from Indian Springs, Nevada. That's the letter. It's the same one we send every year.
And we still get it once a month, once a week, right? Is that what the contract is?
Yes.
Yeah. I just thought that's what it was.
And I just talked, the driver who does the route here actually lives in Indian Springs and does the route for Indian Springs too.
No, Sandy Valley.
Sorry, yeah. Sandy Valley. And I saw him Tuesday night at their CAC meeting, and he said he's gotten a couple new riders lately. So
from here,
from Indian Springs.
So good. That doesn't constitute another run, huh?
No.
Okay. How much would it take? How many more riders?
I don't know what number it'd be, but every rider helps.
Yeah. We used to have it twice a month,
a week. Right, well, they lost a lot of funding.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So you guys lost a route, but Mesquite lost a route, and one other place lost a route, too. And I, in full disclosure, I'm on the board of this organization, of Southern Nevada Transit Coalition, and we just had the audit this year, and this organization is so great to be a part of because their audit was, like, stellar. They, you always see at Christmas time about nonprofit organizations and how little of the money goes back to the programming.
Right.
93% of this organization's funding goes back to the programming. That means only 7% is spent on salaries and office space and copy paper and stuff.
Cool.
So it's a great organization. So it really killed them to have to cut that extra day. And if they get more funding, I'm sure they'll offer it back if there's any. So tell people,
sign up and if they could sign up more or ask for more letters or is that?
Well, not letters, ridership. You got to show that you want it.
You got to show that the van's full and turning away people.
Yeah. And it's not just for seniors, remember that. Seniors get priority, seniors and handicapped get priority. Anybody can ride the bus. So anyway, so if you're happy with sending that, then I'll need a motion and a vote.
Make a motion to accept.
Okay. Aye.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. Sign that, please.
It's dead.
I'm looking for whispers.
All right. Good.
Okay, yes, I may have something a minute ago. I've been trying to pull something up this whole time to share with you, and I'm just seeing if it's working.
Comments by the general public? Anyone have anything? I got one thing. Two things, actually. One is, I hear a lot of people saying there's no work here in Indian Springs. And what I do, we're generally always looking for people. And we've been trying to hire truck drivers and things like that. And we never have anybody from here apply. And we kind of give them, you know. So if you know anyone, go online and type in RSSII. And there'll be a list of jobs and contractors. That's what I do for a living. And we're usually looking for people all the time. We don't get really anyone from here apply. And these are really good paying jobs with great benefits. And
what did you do? I don't know.
I work for the Air Force.
I mean,
so you just apply for jobs?
Yeah.
Some of it is. Some of it's just working on the base.
I didn't even know where you were.
It's everything from working on Creech, which that's not really where I work, to other places, other bases that, you know, and it could be anything from a janitor to a pilot. You know, I mean, there's everything out there. And, you know, not that long ago, most of this town used to work over there. Right. And now, probably 95% of the people I work with live in Vegas. You know, nobody from here is working out there, and we're not getting anybody apply. Probably because of the process we use.
What's it called again, Mike? You said look it up. What?
Yeah, just Google RSSII, and then a page will pop up, and it'll have links. And
okay.
You'll see there's hundreds of positions on there. I mean, everything from firefighters to janitors to cooks to welders to thousands of jobs out there.
Okay.
And the other thing is what I actually do. We used to do maybe two runs a year, you know, the little war games you see going on. We're already in our second one for the year, and we're pumping it up. And so things are getting growing, and things we used to do a lot less of, we're doing more, so we're looking for people. I was told to pass that on.
Okay.
So it's RSSII, and you'll have to figure the rest out yourself. But if you type that in, you'll see.
Is RSSII the new company?
No.
Okay.
It stands for RSS2,
okay,
which is Range Support Services 2.
Gotcha.
And there are a lot of different contractors, but they all hire from the same pool. And they've been really good in towns like Beatty, getting people there, and not so good here. So I was just asked to pass that on, so I did.
Okay.
Please apply.
All right.
That's all I got.
What I was looking for, and I just found it. I'm not going to say this specific area, but there is an area of town where people are bringing in RVs that people are living in. So if you see that happening, that is a violation. You are not allowed to live in an RV, no matter what. It is just not permitted as a home. So we do have an active and ongoing case on that particular one, if you've noticed something moved in. But if you see that in other places, let me know. We'll get code enforcement out on it. So.
Okay, you're talking about, I just want to clarify. So you can't rent a space at Pioneer and pull in an RV?
No.
Really?
An RV is not...
And you could pull in a travel trailer?
Nope. No. The only thing you can live in is a manufactured home or a home. An RV is not intended. They are not built to be a residence. They are not built with fire resistance like a residence. The only thing you can live in is something that's either inspected by the building department or inspected by HUD, which is federal, the building department for federal. And RVs, travel trailers, motorhomes, whatever you want to call it, are not built to those standards. They are not intended for long-term residential living. So it is not permitted. And I understand that I was told by a very unhappy person that this is an affordable housing option. Well, I don't know that it's fair to have someone having an affordable housing option that is living in substandard things that could burn down, all those things. So just so everyone knows, you are not allowed to live in an RV.
Do you have a reference for that ordinance?
Excuse me?
Do you have a reference number for that ordinance?
It's part of the design code, but I don't know that it has an ordinance because, we can look it up, but a residence is has to either have a safety seal from the state
inspected
by the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are not, and you cannot get them inspected by the county. They just because they are not built to those standards.
Okay, but is there a specific code that can be held to in order to be, you know, to force them into eviction or anything like that?
Yes, and that's the development code. Yes,
it's in the development.
And that's what code enforcement uses.
Okay.
But if somebody comes in and they want to rent a space for two nights or something like that, that would be okay? Not even that?
Nope. Unless it's an RV park and you do not have an RV park in Indian Springs.
That's what was across the street.
Right.
Before you were here. There was an RV park across the street. That's what it was called.
Right. Yeah.
Just, I did a bunch of research on this one because the owner was unhappy with the information. And, no, there's no RV park. There's no zoning that would allow an RV park. So the answer is no.
So there's a lot of people that could be mad right now.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And this is nothing new. This is for decades. This is not new. You can't live in a motorhome, travel trailer.
Can I ask what's the limit of time that people can?
If you have an RV park.
Zero.
If you had an RV park,
that's up to that's camping. That's not that's
right.
Not
but if someone is traveling, so this is what we run into up here. Some,
but they can pull
people
on
are traveling
land
and put into their family member or close friend's property
and stay overnight. Chances are that's not going to get reported. And chances are, by the time code enforcement...
That's what they say.
Okay.
They stay there.
Okay.
The thing is, they stay there, but at what point do you report it?
I would say any more than 2 or 3 days. Because, no, I get it. We're campers. My husband and I are campers. I know, and I have camped on someone's property in California for 3 days. I get it. So that technically is not allowed, but I can't imagine anybody calling that in. Or it leading to any kind of violation. The worst thing that would happen then is if it was your brother-in-law, whatever, they'd say, hey, you gotta move on, we move. But if it goes longer than that, they come out and inspect, they come out and re-inspect and it's still there, that's a violation.
Well, what is the, what's gonna happen to the people in this town that are living in RVs?
They will have to find other accommodations. We're not going door to knocking on doors and kicking people out. That's not happening. If a violation is called in, we are required to follow up.
That'd be a real good time to push the apartments.
Yeah.
I don't actually know any of the people that are there.
Population group is zero.
So could the mobile home park turn part of its area into an RV park?
It's a different licensing.
I know, but it would be
if that's what they wanted to do.
No, you'd have to go through a non-conforming zone change, which is about 6 months, about $3,000 in fees, and chances are, I don't think it would. People would want it. Mm-hmm. I think it would. I think the community would fight it. From the phone calls I've gotten, I don't believe that would be supported. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long someone's allowed to camp on BLM property?
I think it's 18 days, isn't it?
14 weeks.
No,
2 weeks.
14 days.
14 days.
2 weeks.
So 18 days is late.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Arizona's 30 days.
Because I've seen that too. They move out to, and I see it with the school, because we've called things in. We've called in these type of living conditions on kids, and their parents say, well, we are camping, and then they go out there and they camp for 14 days, and then they come in and they park on somebody's property for 2 days, and they move their location and go and camp somewhere else so I just wanted to know. I mean, there's not much you can do. But
those I think are the exception. The ones that are putting themselves out that is their residence on a lot that is supposed to have a manufactured home, that's a different.
On that same kind of line, on say it is a legally installed manufactured home, doesn't look that bad on the outside, but for some reason, doing various things, you end up inside of something, and it's something nobody should be living in. What?
You could, that could be code enforcement, it could be health and human services.
Because it was passed up the chain of us and went nowhere.
Were the children living in the home?
No.
Well, they're elderly living in the home.
If they were seniors, yes, then you could report it to them.
I mean,
next time you come across that, let me know.
I believe everything was reported appropriate the way, and I know that nothing happened, and the person's there.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at what is allowable for basic living conditions.
I mean, the last time I saw anything this bad was actually up in Cold Creek, and that was pretty bad up there.
Those the lady with all the animals?
Wow.
I didn't say nothing.
But,
I have friends in Cold Creek. Okay.
Went through all the proper stuff, and I just noticed that nothing happened.
Okay. Well, next time we come across it, or that particular one, we can look into it. We can call social services or something.
The other thing is, at this point it's a rumor, but I kind of want to know what to do in the case that this happens. There's an empty lot where a home was removed. Anyway, so as rumor has it, one of the trailers, the manufactured houses out here, is supposed to be moved on to that residential lot. What do we do? And I mean, that's not allowed, for one, right?
As long as they have a permit to move it.
As long as you have a permit to move it.
And they can get the utilities hooked up to it.
But how new does it have to be? I know that
that's where the permit comes in.
There's no time limit.
Oh,
in rural areas, there's no age limit. I know.
But the home does have to pass inspection. I did one.
Oh yeah, it has.
And they come out and inspect it, and they actually mainly do a lot of work to a fairly new mobile home. I still had to do a lot. I mean, the whole thing ended up costing me almost $40,000.
In
just
town,
to
it's 6 years.
$40,000 a little bit.
Yeah. In town, it's 6 years. But imagine a house that's 6 years old. That's not very old. But in the rural areas, there's no income.
So the county inspects the utilities, and then the state does the
there's
home.
Not gonna. I mean, I doubt seriously that this particular situation. I mean, like situations we've had not long ago. I don't think it's going to be inspected. So all of a sudden, one day, like, something shows up, what do I do?
Yeah, I think I'm one of the rare people that actually did everything.
Yes.
And it's a process. It is a process. I mean, it costs a lot of money. I think for most people, the amount of money you're talking, you wouldn't do it.
Wow.
And I ran that power from Raleigh down Sky and then down there, and that was almost 50,000. But I didn't do any of the work, so.
Okay, so I didn't mean to start a whole thing, but
I'll definitely get back with you on that. Everyone else. Anyone got anything else? Next meeting is April 12th, 2018. Meeting adjourned.
Is there a motion?
I did. That's right.
Second.
Bye.